Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby. Oh, mama, don't play now, baby. Say, 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 hey, hey, now, baby. So let's go on things straight now, baby. Tell me if you love me or not, love me or not, love me or not. I bet the house on you, am I lucky or not, lucky or not, lucky or not. You gotta tell me if you love me or not, love me or not, love me or not. I'm wishing for you, am I lucky enough, lucky enough, lucky enough.
Welcome to another wet day. It's Wednesday. It's Defy and Hustle Radio, and I'm Noreen Ehrlich. And I want to welcome everybody. We have a great, great show because we have some wonderful people in the studio tonight, including my wonderful co-host, Kelly.
Hi, everybody.
And, of course, our producer, Bob.
Oh, I get to say hi, too?
Yeah, you always get to say hi. You can always jump in.
Thank you.
And, you know, we may just get right into it because I think our guest has a lot to offer the listeners. Mm-hmm. We are going to talk today about brands, branding. Well, this can go in a lot of directions. This is a show about somebody who's really passionate about her company, her work, and the products she sells. And what I love about Pamela is that she has a unique space in the market with her brand. So we'll get into it. Welcome, the president of Menage Skincare.
Right, mm-hmm. Right,
Pamela Villielmo.
Villielmo, you said it perfectly.
Thank you. Matter of fact, practice saying that
one. My father would tell you probably say it better than I, but anyhow.
That's
thank you.
You know, the first time I heard you say it, I was like, oh, she's saying it right.
Yeah, my father, so my heritage is, my dad's side was Northern Italian.
Northern Italian.
So it's pronounced Villielmo, but yes, Pamela Villielmo, and the name of the brand is Menage.
Menage.
Menage, mm-hmm. Yes.
M-E-N-A-J-I.
A-J-I, yes.
And it's a skincare line for... exclusively for men?
Well, it was formulated, designed, created for men, and we go back quite a few years, which is always interesting when you meet people and they say, oh my God, it's brand new, and you say, well, brand new, but we're in our 19th year, and you go, really? But the brand has been around a good amount of time, but it's always been under the radar. Mm-hmm. We do men's skincare. It is formulated for men's skin, which is different than women's skin. Mm-hmm. Men's skin is thicker and oilier and has larger pores and has hair.
Oh,
and so for men to really get the type of to get the type of products that are going to do the most for what they're looking for, they really need to have something that's formulated for those attributes. So created for men, but what we do find, interestingly enough, is, especially in the professional world, we're used a lot by professional makeup artists in Hollywood. We do runway. We do Men's Fashion Week in New York.
The backup dancers for Lady Gaga?
Yes, yeah. Yes. We work with dancers, models, actors, so professional men, and the makeup artists who work with them use our products, but they very often find that certain products we have do really well with particular women's issues, so we have been used, Victoria... Secret shoots. Our eye gel has been used there. So, yeah, we get used kind of across the board, but it is a men's line. Yeah.
It's a men's line. So, and then it's also an international men's line.
Yes, yes.
So you're in, and I know you're in Asia.
Yes, we are.
You're in Western Europe.
Western Europe, absolutely.
South America.
South America a bit, Australia, Southeast Asia. It's still a line. You know, what's interesting is when it comes to exports, traditionally, there have been certain categories that export more easily than others, and cosmetics is one of those. The beauty category is one that overseas markets turn to the States for. You know, generally, they turn for fragrance perhaps to France, maybe for other types of cosmetic products to certain countries. But in general, American-made beauty products, and in this case, men's grooming beauty products, are in demand.
And I want to get into the international side, but where is the product made?
Everything's made in the U.S.
And it's always been like that?
It really has. There's only a couple things, and they're really just accessory items, but a couple of our bags, because they're mesh bags, those are still being made, and they're just two out of the collection. We have a fleet collection of travel bags that we have that are smaller to accommodate guys being able to kind of put whatever they want in there. You know, they're designed with a bigger opening for larger hands for guys to be able to pop things in, dot kits and things like that.
Bob looks thrilled.
Well, it's funny.
Remember, my last name is Small. I don't have to be worried about large hands.
Leave that out now, Bob, please. I told you not to get into that.
But the interesting thing is that everything is made in the States, and we're very proud of that, which does also affect price point, though. So, you know, it's always a double-edged sword.
Is it really more expensive to do
certain things? Yeah, because Asia in general has been able to do things because of the way they're structured to be able to deliver goods for less money, particularly componentry parts, tubes and plastic bottles and things like that. So we've been fortunate to source most of those through channels that have allowed us to, without getting into politics, but perhaps be spared now what's going on, because as these tariffs kick in, it's going to be a problem for a lot. And it's also going to already probably affect a little bit our exports, too, as there's going to be some sort of, I assume, and we're beginning to see a little bit of this, of certain things dropping off in terms of exports as people are.
Are you seeing it already?
Yeah, a little bit.
Really?
A little bit.
Really? Okay. All right. And I know it's affecting our stock market.
Absolutely. Yeah, so. And you know, the free flow of goods, regardless of which direction it's going, export or import, is always a positive, because then people have the most choices. They're able to, and a company is able to then decide where it would like to source things. And the more options you have, generally the richer the end product for everybody.
Okay, so we're talking about Menage skincare and cosmetics.
Yes.
And so why don't you talk to us a little bit about where people can go see your product. So certainly your website, but also if you're selling it exclusively online, or if you're also selling it in stores.
Well, it all comes down to the consumer, and where is our consumer going to most often be looking for product. So at one point we were in larger that's my phone.
She's a busy lady.
We're going to turn that off.
She was in an all-day meeting, and then she got here in the rain somehow.
So we have been in larger retailers. We've generally pulled back from them and found, because men in general feel a little bit more comfortable being able to shop online, particularly for what it is that we offer. So we are men's skincare. We're products that are traditional hydrators and cleansers and things like this. We also have some unique shave products. Mm-hmm. But what really sets us apart is that we do it always sounds funny when you say do-do. But we do make, and what we're best known for is we do concealers and we do anti-shine powders. So in the old days, prior to so many people shopping online, we would never use the word makeup and never use the word cosmetics. We would say things like undetectable skincare. We used lots of euphemisms, and people would find us. But today, if you really want to be able to be found, you have to kind of call it what it is. So we're best known for our products that have some sort of cosmetic element to them, which not only will then solve a skincare issue if you have particularly dry skin or skin that perhaps is a bit too oily. We have products for that. But then they also, particularly our sunblock, they have a tint to them. So when you apply it, it doesn't go on as a white lotion. You actually able to even out your skin tone. So as a guy's skin has some redness or might have some other areas that are not as uniform, women have these products all the time to be able to give us.
You sound perfect for me.
Yeah, well, it's true. And women do use our products. I use our tinted moisturizer. Mm-hmm. I love it. But we've got one man in the room, so I'm looking your direction. But what it does is it allows you to even out your skin tone. So we have, in terms of sales, we're sold an awful lot online. And then another area that we're very, very strong in is supporting the professional makeup artists. And as I mentioned earlier, anybody who's a professional male who needs to be on camera or needs to be under hot lights and needs to have some sort of a cosmetic product, we're in those type of retail stores. And those are...
Like Sephora or Nordstrom or...
Well, we used to be in Nordstrom. It's interesting. Okay. That's the one that we had been in department. We were in six of those doors. They refer to them as doors. We did quite well. But what we found was it wasn't giving us the type of return on investment, as we well know with business. It's all that. We find we do a lot better in environments where people are already... looking for our type of product. And it's generally a little bit more unusual for a man to be going into a department store looking specifically for...
So like barbershops or...
We're sold in professional stores. So we're sold in New York in one called Manhattan Wardrobe Supply. On the West Coast, we're sold a couple in Hollywood. We are going to be coming out soon here in Darien, in Grebe's Pharmacy. So some of the higher-end pharmacies is where we're also starting to find that there's some pull for us to respond to.
Test the waters. What you're saying, you know, this ability to be also able to pivot and just say, okay, you know, we're not getting our ROI here, and shift are signs of a successful business and a savvy business owner.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, you know, you only have, especially an indie brand or any smaller company, you only have so much bandwidth. So even though perhaps, you know, you invest 3, 4, 5 years, yes, you'll be able to grow it. But we don't have that same type of timeline. So we have to more quickly, as you're saying, be a little bit more flexible, a little bit more able to identify perhaps an easier way for us to move forward. And there are lots of opportunities. That's what's phenomenal about business. You know, you can...
Infinite opportunities.
Well, you know, and speaking about opportunities, so as I understand it, Menagerie is, it's sold in over 25 countries.
Right.
It's also been recognized as a category creator, which I love. So talk to us a little bit about how you kind of found Menagerie and decided to come on board. Like, you saw this big opportunity and... It's turned into this great company.
It's kind of that perfect storm in a very positive sense. I've been in the beauty industry now for more than 30 years and had given for personal reasons, which I know you were touching on earlier, you know, we all make decisions. I had a specialty in terms of Asia. That was my specialty. But when I chose to start a family, I wanted to be able to travel, but not travel perhaps as much as if I had worked for perhaps a larger corporate entity. So I ended up working for a smaller entrepreneurial company that was very successful in Asia, primarily in Japan and Southeast Asia. And I did all of their work. And I was traveling maybe 6 times a year where I was over in that area. And what I was able to do is to kind of always keep my ear to the ground in terms of what people were talking about. And you see trends. And when you're in something long enough, trends will actually come back again. So when 08 hit and the economy began to, you know, went into a really bad, bad period. It was when my husband turned to me and said, you know, what about owning a brand? I had always worked with other brands in a supportive role as a consultant, which gives you a lot of flexibility. I could, most importantly, choose who I wanted to work with, which was very nice. And also change as often as I liked. I could work with a fragrance if I wanted to, or, again, a skincare, more treatment line, or I could work with a color nail polish line or something like this. And in 08, my husband suggested, why don't we look at a brand? And I said, you've been around long enough, you know, I've seen everything. At that point, you guys will remember this, cracked nail polish was coming back.
I remember cracked nail polish.
Right? But I had seen cracked nail polish already back in the early 80s. And so I'm like, well, it's doing, you know, it's come full circle, 360.
I don't know what it is.
Cracked nail polish?
I don't really use products.
Yeah. Well, cracked nail polish, is literally goes on and it has a crackle to it. And so it's another way, and the whole nail industry is all about individuality, you know, whether
of
it be,
course.
Right?
Yeah.
So in terms of length, shape, what you do. So it was coming full circle. And at the time, I still had my consulting practice. And one of the last kind of independent projects I had done was working for a group in Stanford. And I was looking to identify 10 trends going forward. They were a group that did quant and qualitative work. And I was looking to see, you know, where is it that they could get a foothold in terms of doing research to be able to provide what was necessary for the bigger the Unilevers of the world and the Procter Gambles
that's
of the world.
Cool job. I like that job.
Yeah,
you
like the job,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And giving them ideas. And I came on board there to spearhead their beauty platform. And we pitched, I don't know what we pitched, maybe four, six different companies. And it was fascinating. But as I looked at identifying what these trends were, the one that struck me really interesting is this men's category had no way where to go but up. And some of the top names in the industry in terms of the analysts, someone by the name of Karen Grant, for instance, said that where men's grooming was now is where women's skincare had been 20 years ago. And you saw what huge leap that was coming forward. And all of a sudden, someone was tapping me on the shoulder, my other hand, saying, Pamela, this is really interesting. And so we started looking into actually two, but men's grooming was one of them. And then serendipitously, as things happen, sure enough, a company came to me that was a men's grooming line, which was Menagy. The woman who had founded it was in a position where she wasn't able to grow it anymore. It was still tiny, tiny. It was based in Nashville. And so we put together a group of really exciting people. There were about eight of us who came in at the time and a small little capital raise. And we took it from there, put structure around it, and took it forward a lot.
Good for you. Good for you. Yeah. And I like your husband, too.
Exactly. Well, I've learned early on. I've learned early on to trust him. He's got a very good instinct. And he kept saying, Pamela, whatever you put your mind to, I'm sure you'll, you know, give it your all. And he said, if you've already identified this as a growth category and it's time to perhaps take ownership of something. When you're a consultant, you never really own it, right? Mm-hmm. You come in and you do projects, and even if it's great teams you're working with, you're part of the support family, but you don't have a real, you're not vested in it,
right,
per se.
Right.
And so that's what this was all about. And we brought this on, we took it over, we did a year of due diligence in 2009, and then bought it in 2010. And I say bought it. Really, the exchange here was to provide a structure to an idea, because it was really an idea that the founder had. She'd been working on it for 10 years and had some sort of growth, but there was nothing sustainable there.
There was a foundation in place. And it's a tough foundation to put in place those first few years.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it gives us the, which is interesting what you can pull from that. There was an awful lot of learning and mistakes, and all of that is very, very valuable.
While she was putting it together?
And originally, in the beginning, in terms of what she had done. So we were able to take that, and I like to think, again, bring structure to it, and some really some top people coming in to be able to take it.
And it's so valuable to be able to see those mistakes. And I think every entrepreneur and business person knows they're all our teaching points. So to be able to actually see what's already been, all right, this doesn't work, this needs to get rearranged, it's incredible.
And to have the capital, because you pull together
to have the capital.
And to have the capital to deal with things, because you're going to still be learning. You took it internationally. I mean, of course, that was your background.
At that time, I think there was a market already in the UK, but the biggest shift here was there was no office. It was really a home operation by the founder. Yeah, it was a home operation.
It was an idea and a product.
Yes, an idea and a product, and there were no economies of scale. And so we were very quickly, given my background and others who we brought in, we were able to now really take these initial formulas, really beef them up, make them a lot more, be able to deliver a lot more. We're able to take maybe, I don't know what we had had originally, eight different places where things were being partially made. We completely streamlined it. So it was really a combination of two things. Economies of scale, we were able to finally start to put some good numbers to this. And then forecasts. I mean, there was real forecasting that was done, which was wonderful. And at that same time, we recognized that where investment should be made had shifted from what it had been originally. I mean, retail is still very important, but this was the real beginning of being able to go
e-commerce. The planets aligned, I think, for you. And you can tell me if I'm right, but there must have been a point like 2010, we're coming out of crisis, and you're figuring it out. But then this, I would think, you've got online, people starting to be receptive to purchasing online. Then you've got younger people, younger men, that are receptive to... As you were saying, you couldn't even call it men's skincare or men's cosmetic initially. Right. there must was there, I'm projecting it onto you, but there, was there a tipping point where all of a sudden things just started to get easier for you?
I don't know if you can ever say they get easier. There's certainly different tipping points. I don't know if we ever walk out of our office and say, well, that was
a
slam dunk.
Day.
But we certainly know that as demographics have shifted too. So who is the Menagerie customer? Mm-hmm. The Menagerie customer is really anybody from probably 25 up to 60. Because men have different needs. So the same type of products that someone who's 25 might be reaching for may not be the same thing that someone who's 60 or 65 is reaching for. An anti-aging product that has got green apple stem cell that's phenomenal for bringing back skin and making it healthier and all is not what a 25-year-old is reaching for.
Right.
But it's what someone is older is reaching for because he has more concerns with obviously wrinkles and dryness and being able to try to rejuvenate his skin. But when I show a concealer, anybody in our team shows a concealer to an older guy, he very often, first off, he won't reach for it.
Mm-hmm. We're looking at Bob here.
Well, Bob's a little bit, scaring a little bit towards the upper end. But you show a concealer to an older guy, he'll never reach for it. I show it to a younger guy, he's reaching right out. I don't have to say what it is. He's already taking the cap off and going, yeah, that's my shader. No, you know something? This has got a little bit too much red work. Oh, yeah. The younger people, they are completely open to it. You don't have to explain. I mean, we've got interns in our office now. We really work hard to be part of the community. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in Connecticut now pretty much all my since coming back. I lived in New York and in Asia, but coming back from that, all of my years of raising my kids, the last 20, 25 years, has been in Connecticut. And we try to make sure that we support the community. So one of them is through our internship programs, which is a win-win. They get a chance to come in, and as I tell them and mean this completely, you will leave from here, and no matter what interview you ever go in, when they say, where have you worked? You go, well, I worked for a men's cosmetic company. There is no way the person's going to go, oh, you're the third one I just had.
I am giving
you the key mm-hmm. to get your interview further along. And I said, and what you're going to do for us is be able to provide us with insight in terms of how you're thinking, what appeals to you, where things are moving. And then we're very structured with this. They come in, the high school kids who are now in, they come in for a good 3 weeks. They learn everything from product development, mm-hmm. Marketing. Certainly there's a social media element to it. Mm-hmm. They work today they were working on developing press lists for us. They also work very much on being able to do outreach through email. They have to learn how to write too in terms of business writing, which is very different
right.
than
mm-hmm.
what they've done. So they mm-hmm. walk away from being with us with some real good stories. They certainly have good stories. They have, I think, an interesting skill set. And what we've gotten from them is for me to be able to sit down there and say, guys, what word would have you saying, yeah, I'll try that concealer?
Right.
And they don't hesitate to say, use this word or that word, or God knows, don't stop using that word. It doesn't appeal to us.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a win-win.
Is your company run, is it women now making products for men? Is it primarily women, or you have
men on staff. Actually, my partner's a guy. Oh, yeah. And any on my product development side, there's certainly men involved. Oh, absolutely. But there are a lot of women involved, too.
Mm-hmm.
So I can't say, you know, it's not women making for men or although traditionally in the beauty industry, it was always guys making
right.
for
well,
women.
That's what women. Kelly and I were talking about.
No, I mean, yeah, I think even when we had previously discussed, we talked a little bit about the ecology of women in the workplace and just the diversity in the workplace mm-hmm. and how it does, just even as having your interns, it brings these different vantage points and creates new angles for your products and just makes them more universal or specific to your target market. That's invaluable and so needed. And I think it almost takes a woman to, because it's like the men are sneaking into our cabinet
Absolutely.
And taking our concealer and our products. Like, oh, I have a pimple. Can I use your concealer? Like, help me. So they've always been wanting makeup or using it. And as also like youth and beauty has just been growing over the years, it makes sense that they're getting comfortable to it. And then for them to have their own products, I'm sure a lot of guys are like, sweet.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. When we have the 800 number comes in, and sometimes I overhear these conversations, and a lot of it is, you know, what took you so long? And you say, well, actually, we've been doing this a long time. And it is always interesting when people say, you know, how old or how new is this? And we say, well, we're really new, 18 mm-hmm. years old, new.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Isn't
so
it always that when you hear stories about people who just
made it, right?
Just made it, they were at it for a really long time behind mm-hmm. the scenes.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden they tip. and something about the timing is just right, and then off they go, and it gets harder still.
Well, the other interesting thing is, as an indie brand, you can only do so much. You just don't have the resources, whether it be outright deep pockets to do it. You don't have the bandwidth. So what you always need is you need some player to kind of do the spend, the capital spend. You can't. So when we were doing our due diligence, one of the things that came across that year in 2009 was the Super Bowl that year ran a ad campaign. It was the first time Old Spice did an ad for the men's grooming. And you guys will have to Google this, but the ad was, and I can't tell you exactly, I'm not going to remember the gentleman's name, an athlete, well-known, very good-looking. He sat backwards on a white horse, and it was all tongue-in-cheek. You're nodding your head.
Yeah, I vaguely remember.
And that ad won all sorts of awards in the advertisement world, number one. And then number two, it immediately had people chirping away, right, talking. And you know that by the time a Unilever or P&G makes that type of investment, they've done a lot more digging than we were able to do, even with our team. And we had some really good finance guys in our group who did that work for us. However, when that happens and that type of capital spend happens, everybody gets lifted up. So in one sense, you go, oh, no, someone else is coming into our space. In another sense, you're going, thank you for coming into our space.
It's like a lead. I don't know what in my old world we called it a lead investor.
A lead investor. Yeah.
Yeah. So the lead investor came into your fund when you were fundraising, and then everybody could follow on because they knew that they did their due diligence on your fund.
Right. And you don't necessarily want to be the first one to dip your toe in. So there's also that sense of, well, if they're doing it, there must be a reason, and that's that whole, I don't know if you call it the lemming, whatever.
Yeah.
That sense
the
of
big wave that just
exactly
starts flooding.
Can we take a break?
No.
Sure.
Well, then how about if I ask a question?
Oh. You're going to ask a question? All right, ask a question.
And then we're going to take a break.
Okay.
Okay, my question is, the marketing, is it vary from country to country?
That was my question, Bob.
That was my question.
It's supposed to come later in the show.
You can ask it again. I'll give you a different answer. Does it vary country to country? Yes, and just because what that consumer is looking for is different. So as we chatted a little bit earlier, there's certain countries that already has a much higher acceptance of these type of products. The biggest one today – pardon me?
Philippines.
Philippines is certainly one, but the biggest one in Asia is Korea. South Korea and the boy bands.
Oh, the boy bands.
Oh, yeah. These guys are using – first off, they have these skincare regimes, you know, that are at least 5 or 6 products. Mm-hmm. They're all using color. They're all using multiple – no, our concealer sticks are to conceal a breakout, dark circles under your eyes, some hyperpigmentation. They're using concealers to contour. They're using concealers to strike it up on that upper cheekbone to actually get them looking – the Koreans in general already have high cheekbones.
Yeah.
But they're even giving more emphasis to that. So, yes, the countries vary, as I was saying earlier, in general – India and an older gentleman in India would actually be accustomed to using a pressed powder. So when we show pressed powders to inquiries we get in from India, they're all over it. They love it. So it's
I mean, and that topic kind of brings us into building your brand just domestically to building it globally, which we'll dive into more after the break forced us into.
That Bob is
making it's my fault.
But good question, Bob. Thank you for joining us.
We'll be right back.
This is Defiant Hustle Radio.
Still a long ride on the Merritt northbound from the state line up to exit 42. 95 is slow northbound from Greenwich all the way up through Bridgeport. Traffic sponsored by Positive Coaching Alliance, a national nonprofit developing better athletes and people through youth and high school sports. Information at positivecoach.org. I'm Adam Walsky on 1490 WGCH.
From the WGCH Weather Center.
Showers and thunderstorms lingering into this evening. Some with heavy rain, briefly gusty winds. Remaining cloudy with areas of fog developing late tonight, the low near 55. Tomorrow, morning fog with afternoon showers. The high near 75. A few thunderstorms and gradual clearing tomorrow night. Lows in the mid-50s. Stuck in jail, the Bail King is here to help. Bail Bonds office open in New York and Connecticut 24/7. Go to thebailking.com. I'm meteorologist Ryan Gallagher on 1490 WGCH.
What if I told you I could change your life in just 100 days? This is Noreen Ehrlich from Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm an executive coach based in Greenwich, Connecticut. For over two decades, I worked as a CFO and leader in Wall Street's fast-paced private equity industry. I helped guide teams of professionals to improve their careers, grow their businesses, and still maintain work-life balance. Based on this know-how and my unique understanding of life's principles, I created a 100-day plan that will unquestionably up-level your life. Make 2019 your year. You can and deserve to have it all. Don't wait. Take advantage of my free 50-minute consultation by visiting my website at NoreenEhrlich.com or calling me at 475-333-2173.
Inside my bones, it goes electric, wavy when I turn it on. All through my city, all through my home, we're flying up, no ceiling when we in our zone. I got that sunshine in my pocket, got that good soul in my feet. I feel that hot blood in my body when it drops. Ooh, I can't take my eyes off of it, moving so phenomenally. Come on, like the way we rock it, so don't stop.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to Defy and Hustle Radio. I'm Noreen. We're here with Kelly, my lovely co-host.
Hello, everybody.
We got Bob at the controls over here, and we have our very, very special guest who we're thrilled to have with us today. She's the president of Menagerie. So go check out Menagerie, skincare products for men.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how did you come up with the name? Oh, it's Pamela. Sorry, I have to reintroduce my
that's
guest.
That's quite all right.
But no, I apologize to you and my audience. Pamela
Villiamo. I'll help you out there. Okay. It's Villiamo.
Villiamo. I got it right.
No,
the first
you're using the hands too. Yes, it's Villiamo.
Villiamo. Uh-huh. So you're the president of Menagerie Skincare, and so we wanted to talk first for 2 seconds about the name.
Yeah, that's a good question.
About the name. Sure, of course. So the name came about because the word men wanted to have men in there. And, you know, what's simple is the better you can explain what the product is through the name, the better it is. I mean, you start to get a little too fancy. Mm-hmm. Aji actually has some heritage in a Scandinavian feeling of power, so it comes together as manpower. And the idea that with any product, it's really how it makes you feel. So you know when you put on a really nice sport jacket or put on a new shirt, you get that kind of that empowerment. Your shoulders go back a little bit. You walk
a little
taller, right? And so with these type of products, what we deliver is we deliver products that generally solve a problem, whether it be even just a guy making sure that he washes his face a little bit better. With the, again, the concealer sticks and the anti-shine powders, those are specific to guys having something that they'd like to maybe not have as a parent or maybe have kind of even disappear. So what we deliver is we deliver products that have you looking better. When you look better, you feel better.
Mm-hmm.
And this was actually the original tagline, which went on forever. When you look better, you actually have, you know, it leads to success, which leads
you
then to confidence.
All this, yeah.
So we all know, and again, coming back to the women's space, that when you do take a little bit of extra time and make sure that you run a little, whether it be a little lip gloss across or maybe add a little bit of moisturizer, or make sure you put that mascara on, it gives you that sense of kind of putting yourself together. And it's that sense of I'm kind of ready to move forward. With men, it is a sense of confidence. Any of us feel better when we know that we look our best. So we use all sorts of terms. You know, putting our best face forward. We've used. We use a lot during football season for the ads and the marketing pieces. You know, you want to have skin in the game. So we've got all these puns that we run. And if you follow us, please. Those of you who are on Facebook, we're on Facebook. We're on Instagram. Instagram is MENAJI_skincare. I think our Facebook is just Menagerie Skincare.
And their Instagram account is beautiful and fun.
Thank
you guys
you.
Will really like
well,
it.
I have Jacqueline to say thank you for that. We've got
Jacqueline sitting in the background. Hi, Jacqueline.
Hello.
We've got some really lovely, just great talent. And what what comes across there is the ability to be able to have an image go with something. So with products, you want to make those images interesting, but it's also about aspirations and lifestyle and being in a sense of by using a particular product, you're going to solve a problem that you have. It's going to put you in a different frame of mind, give you the sense of confidence to be able to go out and kind of give it your best, whether it be on the personal front, you know, again, going back to people and why guys use product, we find the dating scene, people, you know, we're involved with the dating sites. Guys want to have a product or two to make sure that they're kind of looking their best, whether it be
weddings.
Again, weddings, yeah. Exactly. We've actually got something now that's going to be run. We've got a press release coming out that's all about grooming the groom. I mean, Yeah, for weddings, women spend, and, you know, weddings in general, an awful lot of energy and time and resources on making sure the bride looks gorgeous. And then the guy, you know, he's got needs too. So even if it's just a little bit of we have a 911 eye gel, which if you keep it on ice, you keep it in an ice bucket or you take it from the fridge, it's got a cooling. It's made with aloe vera. It's got Eye Bright. It has wheaten in it. It has all sorts of wonderful ingredients that take down puffiness.
And especially as, like, unfortunately, some grooms, some wives, they drink the night before. And if I was walking down the aisle, I'd want my man looking sharp and good.
Exactly.
That eye cream on you.
That's a big thing, because then the groom learns these skincare routines and then he takes them with him after the wedding. So it develops a lifelong habit.
Well, it's even a good gift to give somebody that might very subtly be like, here, check this out, I got this. Well, you do have a Father's Day promotion going on.
Absolutely. We have a Father's Day promotion going on right now. Actually, it was tied. We called it Dads and Grads. We find that a lot of young guys heading off to college or heading off, you know, or finishing up college, heading into the workforce, need to have products. But Father's Day is huge because so many guys don't take time to take care of themselves. They generally don't know what product to purchase. So unless you've got a spouse, a girlfriend, you know, a daughter who's saying, hey, Dad, you really should give this a try, and you literally place it on his, you know, on the vanity in his bathroom, sometimes it's very tough. So we've got a wonderful gift set that has a number of products that are all kind of introductory products. I don't believe in that gift set we have any color per se. I think those are all skincare products that we've got in it. And this one is all about getting a guy's skin healthier, making sure that he's able to clean it, make sure you put moisture back into it, make sure you maybe have a little bit of a sunscreen block. But they're products that are, as we talked about at the start, that are formulated for men's skin.
And you use, so you said you when you came into the business, in 2010 when you purchased the business, you also caught the organic phase.
Yes.
Of everything going organic, yes. Whether it's your food at Whole Foods or it's your products. So talk to us a little bit about
Absolutely.
What goes into your product.
Absolutely. So that's when, so one of the other big things we brought to the table is we reformulated. So some of the formulas that had been kind of from the get-go going way, way back had certain ingredients that they're better alternatives today. I'm not one who goes down the path of that if you use a particular product and it has this in it that you're going to, you know, not see tomorrow. However, there are better ingredients today. So, for instance, parabens are generally out of any cosmetic. Parabens are not good for your skin. There are other better, it's a preservative. There are other better preservatives that are out there today. So there are no parabens in anything. We don't have any sulfates. Any of those that have really been demonstrated to not be good for your skin. Again, I don't go down that path that your life is in danger, but you really should move away from those. So our reformulations now are all chock full of botanicals. For instance, our Power Hydrator, which is a very lightweight aftershave, that's the one you're going to get. that one has wonderful. We don't have any added fragrance, but the scent is actually organic grapefruit peel, which is a citrus, very light. Dissipates immediately, but you get that little lift also because with a nice scent, and that's all organic. So that's one particular product, for instance, our Power Hydrator. Then we have the Power Hydrator Plus, which is where we introduced a tint. So now you can get it either in a light, a medium, or a dark, where if you do want to add a little bit of color to your skin or, again, even out your skin tone so you don't have any ruddiness, you can do that with our Power Hydrator Plus.
Just as you were saying before, it's like when you use these products, when you take care of yourself, you just feel good. It makes you feel really positive. This starts to lead to confidence. And this is where good marketing comes in. It's like knowing what business you're really in and what you're really selling to your customers. And in this case, it is. It's that confidence. It's also the ease, you know?
It's the ease, absolutely.
So, and then that kind of funnels in, because if the customers don't know what they're getting, if that improvement or what they're buying is confusing, then they generally won't buy your product or they'll go somewhere else. And as you said, too, it's like just making it straightforward. It's concealer. You know, if it's under a strange name, people either aren't going to find it or not get it. So it's a big thing that Noreen and I touch on, of like really understanding that the value you're creating and making sure you are creating value.
What business are you really
for
in,
your
right.
client?
Do you know your product?
Well, the other, so coming down, so coming down also, and it comes down not only to formula, which we've talked about, but package itself.
I wanted to go to the package.
Yeah.
You have to go on to your website, menaji.com.
Yes.
Check it out. The Father's Day, the Dads and Grads.
Dads and Grads. It's
promotion
right there.
Is there.
Yeah, it's under, I think it's under kits at the top.
Yeah.
There's a drop down.
Dads and Grads kit.
But you also see the wonderful packaging.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I wanted to ask you about the packaging.
Thank you. So packaging has to be simple. We don't, first off, that comes from an environmental sense too. So all of our plastics can be recycled. We are striving always to come up with, again, better packaging that's going to even leave less of a carbon footprint, to be able to do more with less. So we very much struggled with, would we have a secondary package, which is a box? Mm-hmm. So when we first got the company, the few products that we had, and then, of course, we quickly expanded, did not have boxes. What we found was that, and it's funny, it's a psychology thing, without a box, sometimes people felt they weren't getting something that was new.
Isn't
interesting.
It strange?
Yeah.
I do know when I go to the store, something about having a box has something that would make you pay extra, even though it's so subtle.
Right.
And
mm-hmm.
But when you're just seeing it standing there on the shelf, you don't get that unpackaging, I guess, when you take something out of the
package. Well, and it's also ingrained opening.
I just got my toothpaste the other day because the little tab was opened, and I go, I don't care. And he goes, I'm going to give it to you half price. I go, okay. I believe that it wasn't tampered, but they just...
Right, you don't want to see the actual... You want to take
you
it out, but this is a conflict. I'm sure it presents a conflict.
Well,
or do you... Not waste, but...
Right. So what it did, I like to always take something that could otherwise perhaps be a negative and make it into a positive. So I thought, okay. So the positive on this is, if you put it into a box, it ships easier.
Mm-hmm.
You can pack out a carton easier. Hmm. So it helped then perhaps, I don't know if we ever ran the numbers on this, but maybe lower the cost of some of our pick and pack at the warehouse. It also allows it to stand more easily on a shelf.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
If you've got something in a tube, one knock, and it's like dominoes, they all go down.
Yeah.
So when you have a box, you don't have quite that same issue. The other thing is, with the box, you have more surface area. Now you can better explain what the product is.
That's
right?
True.
So those are all pluses. However, there is going to be a cost to the box. Were we going to pass that on? We decided not to.
Mm-hmm.
We also, though, yeah, we did. It was a conscious decision, though. We also decided that for a guy's hand, they've got bigger thumbs, so we made sure that the tab on top is very big. So it's definitely for a guy's thumb. The package also has kind of a tactile feel to it. It's a little bit rougher. We made sure also that when we ran it through the printers, we were using a printing process that used less ink. We were getting more – we designed the box. We would get more in the – and I'm not going to get the right term on this as a printer – get more in terms of the layout on the page.
Mm-hmm.
There was less waste with the paper. So we made sure that the printing process itself was going to be as environmentally and as ecologically – conservative as possible, which it is, but the box itself was something that we felt needed to be added because enough customers were questioning whether or not something had been opened. Because we don't do safety seals.
Mm-hmm.
A safety seal, you look at a beautiful product, it's got a plastic wraparound band at the top, unless it's done extremely well, just doesn't look too good. And then you get into an issue of it doesn't, you're asking how much money for something that's got a plastic kind of peel off on it,
right?
Which would be perhaps like a Tylenol,
mm-hmm,
you know, type
mm-hmm.
bottle. So the boxes,
and they're a pain in the neck to get off.
They're a pain in the neck to get off. Yes, like a child resistance. But our boxes, I think our boxes are another way for us to continue to tell the story and to further develop kind of what they speak of as the DNA of the brand.
Mm-hmm.
So it's another touch point, another visual for someone to better understand what the product is. Also to be able to read a little bit more about it. Certainly the FDA forces you, and rightfully so, that you have certain things on a box have to be there,
mm-hmm.
the ingredient deck for sure, but then they dictate the size of the font, What terminology
the
you
FDA
can use.
Does.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
The FDA. Well, it's good to hear that they're still involved.
They absolutely are.
Hold on. I want to ask you a question. When we were talking on the phone, we always do a pre-interview, you were talking about having the night before just done the runway show for the designer Joseph Aboud.
Yes.
So, yes. And that a large part of your customer base, if I'm correct, is professionals.
Is professionals, absolutely. And I'm smiling again because it was a phenomenal night. We've done a number of men's fashion shows over the years. This one really was just fantastic. First off, the scale of it, and they speak about, in terms of models, there were 52 guys. So it was a good number of guys. The venue was down in New York City. It was New York City Fashion Week, Men's Week. And the venue was actually down at the South Street Seaport. And it was on board a pirate ship.
Wow.
So here you are on a ship. To get in, you know, we had a team of, I had a dozen makeup artists along with my head makeup artist, Key. I think we came on board ourselves with 20 people to be able to work this team. And then you had the stylists, you had hair, all in downstairs on the third floor down in this ship. There were 100 people backstage working on this thing.
Wow.
For 52 guys to walk. And but it was a phenomenal night. So we work, and all of those models, many of them still use our product. Some of them already knew about us. Those who didn't were pretty thrilled. We made sure that they all got product when they left. We stay in touch with them. They stay in touch with us. Sometimes I'll ask what news coming out. Mm-hmm. And so those type of professionals, those guys who need to make sure that their skin is blemish-free. I mean, they're like any model, right? They cannot afford to have any little imperfections on their face, or if they do, they have to be able to hide them.
Mm-hmm.
And as you touched on earlier, it's all about ease. So yes, makeup artists use our products, mm-hmm. but guys themselves can use any of our products. You don't have to have, by any means, a makeup artist or a pro to apply this yourself. Everything is very, very simple to apply. Mm-hmm. And
I'm going to say something that may or may not resonate with anybody, but it reminds me of when I worked in the Flatiron District a while back. But MAC makeup, what is it? Makeup Artist Collection.
Yes.
So that was something that was and still is revolutionary.
Yeah.
It's a great product. The price points are wonderful, and it had its own style. But it was MAC makeup products,
right.
And skincare products are used by the professionals, but also everybody,
regular people,
we just love MAC products. So it sounds like your product, and this is a compliment, I hope,
absolutely. Be compared with them at all.
Products,
is wonderful.
It's something that's going in both directions and really appealing to both the professional end.
Right, because it serves the needs of both.
Mm-hmm.
So professionals need to have products that they can count on, that deliver what they need to have delivered, that are not going to be fussy for them either.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to have products that come through for them in a pinch. And some of our products, for instance, our Clear Shave is a shave product. So when we come out with a new product, the beard category was one that was taking off. It still is.
The beard category.
Facial hair.
No doubt.
Right. And what's interesting is that all came from the UK. That was not American born. That was a UK import.
It was so funny. I remember I was going through the airport though, and I was like, all the TSAs, like everyone, beards and top knots.
Yep.
And I was like,
enough.
I don't know if this is like in fashion still or has gone out of fashion. I'm like, but it's still very much in fashion.
Yeah, so the beard and facial hair, and which is wonderful. I mean, listen, guys should be able to express themselves. It's all about the idea of that you have to have a clean face to show that you're a professional, that you made it, you know, is no longer there. However, what we don't want to see as a woman, or as I think as a guy too, you don't want to see a guy with facial hair who hasn't keeping it tidy.
Yeah.
Right?
Worse.
So it needs it needs to be kept clean. And to that end, you know, if we were going to come out with a shave product, it had to be something that spoke to Menagy. And if Menagy is all about guys being able to use a product simply, it has to also be able to be used by pros. What was going to give us that edge? And, you know, I spent a lot of time on this, and I was like, I know, we're going to do something that uses no water. So the term has always been dry shave, which to me sounds ouch.
Yeah.
I mean, so we don't say dry shave, but that is kind of the category that was created around these type of products. Ours is called Clear Shave, 3-in-1 formula. There's no water. So you literally take the airless pump, you prep it. You got a, you know, an airless pump. You use your finger to pump, and the floor of, I don't know if anyone can, no one can see this.
I know.
The floor rises up.
Yes.
And then when it comes up, then
I use a lot of products. I know these things.
Then the gel comes out, and when you literally finish it, there's not a single drop left because the floor is right up against the top.
Right.
So with the Clear Shave, you give a few pumps. You literally put it on a dry face, or with the makeup artist, a dry arm, a dry head. Guys are using this
chest.
For bald heads.
Oh, that's good.
Chest,
to know. Bald heads.
Legs. Yeah. Swimmers are using it for all, you know, different parts
body.
Too. Makeup artists are using it for hand models. You got to make sure there's no hair on those knuckles. They're using it for their hands. So there's no water needed. So what we say to the professional makeup artists is on set, on location, wherever you're using product, you don't have to have a sink. Because what you do is you apply the gel. It's again, full of wonderful herbal elements and botanicals. It's a very, very healthy gel. You apply it directly to your skin. You shave with a razor, whether it be electric or a straight edge. And when you're done, you literally rub it in. And the hydration goes right into your skin. There's nothing there. So do you need to rinse
this
your...
This is the one I like.
This is the one you like? Okay.
Yeah. This is a great one. It also, what? It helps prevent ingrown hairs.
Exactly.
And razor bumps. Exactly. And for all our female listeners, this product, you can still use it too.
Yes, absolutely.
I like this one too.
And one of, again, coming back to some of the pros who use it, who kind of scold me and say, Pamela, stop saying this is just for men. They take it, they use it on the runway in Paris, because even these gorgeous French models will show up and they've got a little peach fuzz above their lip or their hairline's a little bit out of whack, and they use a teeny, teeny little razor, not a traditional men's razor, called a daisy. It looks like a, looks
I've
like a pinky,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they use that and they just take off and then they rub it in. It's done.
Pamela, so you've got this great business. It's thriving. It's still expanding.
Yes,
and so
yes.
Let's go out maybe a year from now.
Or a year?
Let's
okay.
go out a year, because I, okay. I don't like when people go, oh, 5 years from now, because in the way the world is changing, who knows what could be happening. But let's go out 1 year from now. If you had everything going for you, what would be happening with you and your brand? What would be
a year out from now? I want us to be even in more, whether it be literally bricks and mortar, but more locations for people to be able to come in and get the products that they need. So we're doing an awful lot online. Social media is a wonderful platform for us to continue to talk. There are ways to do all sorts of things online. We do work, of course, with Amazon, which if you don't work with Amazon, you're
I
not
saw
a brand.
That. Yeah.
So we are sold on Amazon, do very well with them. We're in Amazon, though, not only in the States, Amazon Canada, Amazon Mexico.
Do they strong arm you when you go?
They really haven't. Although if they hear this, they may come after us. They really haven't.
I asked the question very quietly.
Amazon is a great partner in so many ways, because you're not relevant if you're not on Amazon.
Right.
And it is a wonderful way for people to learn about your brand. Amazon, when it first came out, it's already years and years back, but there was a way. We're on the men's luxury skincare side, which is actually a curated area.
Mm-hmm.
So our brand is in with really the better brands. We're not in kind of the more, not that
generic.
Mass is bad, but
yeah,
more
yeah,
generic
yeah,
area.
Yeah, Procter,
so Gamble. A year out from now, I want us to be even more of a, an answer for what guys need, because whether it be, whether it be a, I got a finger going up.
That means we have one minute to decide on the rest of our lives.
Okay. Well, we welcome questions. We're always on. We have an 800 number. We're always here to answer questions. As anybody who answers those phones knows, we really are about, you're not the first call we've gotten today. We've gotten 20 before you, and it's guys asking questions. All they want is education. They want to be able to learn so that they can make the choices that they want to get the products that are going to make them have healthier skin.
And this, I mean, it's just, it really is a great company. You guys do good. You care about the environment, and their testimonials are just like raving, and they're all authentic and just great testimonials.
And we are really thankful that you came on the show tonight. Thank you very much,
my
Pamela.
My pleasure.
Villiamo. Okay,
from Menagerie.
I was going to try it again because I loved this and I knew I had it, but I don't know, as I get older, that part of my brain is just going.
No worries.
And that's too bad because I have a show. But
The Voice of Greenwich. This is 1490 WGCH Greenwich.
Special report, Mueller breaks his silence. Now it's up to House Democrats to decide how to act upon Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Russia report. They could subpoena Mueller to testify, but in making his first public statement on the report today, he made it clear where he stands.
The report is my testimony. I would not provide information beyond that which is already public in any appearance before Congress.
House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says nothing is off the table, including potential impeachment proceedings against President Trump.
He also was clear in saying that if he thought the president could be cleared, he would have cleared him, but he didn't. And that is very clear. So he has given us an array of facts, which we will take to the Congress and to the courts as we go forward, as we investigate and litigate.